want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to a wonderful Monday morning in beautiful Brevard County. You are listening to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we are so thankful that we're going to spend the next half hour with you here on the Refresh Radio program, talking about the Word of God. And right now, we are talking about seeking justice. And before we get into that, I want to say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, give them a call and they can take care of your project. Big project, medium-sized project. They've got decades and decades of experience. And they will do a great job for you. Tell them that you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. Don't wait till the last minute. You know, when we've been doing a number of things around our house, and so what I do is I call in advance of when I'm going to need something done so that I can have it lined up. So when one part of the project is over, then we can move on to the next aspect of that. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. With so much construction going on in the area right now, you just can't wait until the day before and say, well, I bet I can find a concrete guy that's got nothing going on tomorrow. I encourage you to call them in advance so you can get things on the schedule. 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. So, I saw something, and it was a sign. I think it was an advertisement, and it said something like this: honk for justice, honk for justice. And, because I'm doing this study on seeking justice right now, my response to that situation was this: honking is going to do nothing to accomplish justice. Honking is not going to do anything for accomplishing justice. And in all honesty, one of the questions that I ask whenever somebody is doing something, one of the things that I ask is this: what is this going to accomplish? There are some things, and I know hundreds of thousands and millions of people participate in all sorts of these things that take place, and my approach to it is that's not going to accomplish anything. That's not going to accomplish anything. And so we are talking about seeking justice. We are going through 1 Kings chapter 10 right now. We've not gotten quite yet to the place where we are going to be dealing with the justice aspect of this passage, but we started it last week where the Queen of Sheba had heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. And so we spent a program talking about that. Are you famous concerning the name of the Lord? Because we need to be famous for all of the right reasons, not infamous for all of the wrong reasons. And then We talked about the interaction between the Queen of Sheba and Solomon, about how he had addressed all of the concerns that she had in her heart, and there was nothing so difficult that he could not explain it to her. And we talked about how, you know, that's the goal of communication, is communicating from one person to another person in a manner that they are going to be able to understand. And so I heard an explanation by Robert Morris one time, because there are so many different translations of the Bible, and he said there are basically two types of translations. And I had heard this before, but never in such a easily explainable manner. He said one of them is a literal translation. It is, what does the word say and what does the word mean in the language that you are translating it to? So it is a literal translation. And he said, and the other is classified as a dynamic translation, which is what was the goal of the communication in the original language, and how do we best express that in a modern translation so that our modern audience can understand that. So I can study in any Bible. I've got dozens and dozens of Bibles and all sorts of different translations. And then when you go into online versions, you've got bundles and bundles of different translations that you can avail yourself of to help you to understand what the Word of God means. And so Solomon communicated the answers to the Queen of Sheba's questions in a manner that she could understand it. And so an explanation to a college professor might look different than it would if you were explaining that truth to a six-year-old child, much the way that Jesus' conversation in John chapter 3 addressing Nicodemus's concerns was different than the way that he communicated with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. So once he had addressed the questions that she had, the hard questions that she had, verse number 4 says this, and when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king, to do justice and righteousness. Verse number 13, now King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, besides what Solomon had given her according to the royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. So let's look at verse number 4. It says, and when the Queen of Sheba, listen to this, had seen all the wisdom of Solomon. I've went through a series several years ago. I called it the School of Wisdom here on the radio program. And I described how that God had quickened a verse to me, and it said, wisdom is proved right by all her actions. And he challenged me, and he said, the thing that you are doing, is that producing the results that you ought to be getting? And I said, no. And he said, well, what's that tell you about your actions? And it's like, that there's a wiser way to do it. And so then the goal is to find out, God, how do we proceed in a manner that is going to produce results that will be seen as wisdom? I think that is a noble goal for every person in their life. Okay? There are a lot of husbands who do not operate as husbands in wisdom, and then they wonder why they don't get the results. There are a lot of wives who do not operate as wives with wisdom, and then they wonder why their relationship with their husband or their kids is not going the way that they want it to go. There are a lot of people who conduct their physical activities in a manner that is not wise according to biblical standards. It may be acceptable according to worldly standards, but it's not wise according to biblical standards. Wisdom manifests itself. It is easily recognized. It can be seen. Wisdom is not just wisdom because it stimulates the brain cells. Wisdom can be seen. So I made a little note here about all of the various areas where the Queen of Sheba saw the manifest wisdom of God, or the manifest wisdom of Solomon that had been given to him by God. Okay? The first place was the house that he had built. I believe that God is a master builder. You know, he builds on a solid foundation. He doesn't build on sand where the winds and the waves beat upon it. And so you and I, we need to recognize that God is a master builder, and that wisdom that God imparts to us, gives to us, should manifest itself not just in our church, but it should manifest itself in our home. Okay? So you might want to write some of these things down. You can take note of it. The wisdom of God should be manifest in home. Did you know that as a pastor, I am charged with the responsibility of not only leading my congregation well, but I have to lead my home well? And that doesn't always... that doesn't always take place. There have been a lot of casualties of pastoral families through the years. And in all honesty, I told God, I'm not in the business of telling God many things, but I expressed my heart to him in this way: God, I will not sacrifice my home for the sake of being famous in ministry. I won't do it. It doesn't mean that I don't love people outside of my house, but I'm called to operate in wisdom in my home that can be seen. And that wisdom is going to exponentially impact other people and other people's homes. So I've had my kids that they're all grown now, and grandkids are emerging and growing and are just such a real joy. But a number of my kids have told me that since they've been out on their own and they would go to church, that they would find themselves in discussion groups and things like that. And all of a sudden they would find themselves and they say, I can't believe that I'm going to say this. And then they would impart wisdom to that group that they had heard at home. And it used to be, you know, oh no, here comes another dadism. Another dadism where, you know, it's just a statement. And so whenever my daughters got married, you know, there were dadisms that they wanted to be part of the ceremony. And, you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Thankful for the mercy of God. Build your house well. Build your home well. It doesn't matter if you touch the world if you're not touching your Jerusalem. You touch your Jerusalem, then you touch your Judea, then you touch your Samaria, then you touch the uttermost parts of the world. That is the biblical way that it is supposed to take place. And so I'm thankful for the people that God calls into ministry to reach faraway places, but I'm also just as thankful that God calls people to touch their homes. You don't have to be a pastor to do that. You just have to be a mother or a father or a child, a young person, and say, God, may my house be built on wisdom. Okay? The next thing, okay, hold on to your seat there, Gussie. This next one here is something that hits home very, very closely. So let me read it to you. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table. Okay? Now, we could look at that situation and we could say, well, there was just an overabundance. If you look at the monthly groceries that were supplied for Solomon and his household, you would find that each of the tribes was required to supply 1 month's worth of food for the king, and that grocery bill was extensive. You don't end up with a $57.36 grocery bill when you've got, hundreds of wives and hundreds of concubines and all of the kids that come along with it and all of the servants and all of the ambassadors in the different regions of the country and all of that. There, so we could look at it and say, well, there is a huge quantity of food. And then you've got there wasn't refrigeration, so all of that stuff had to be kept, it had to be managed, it had to have caretakers who knew what they were doing with it and how to prepare it and all. You could look at it and you could see it in the abundance, but you also need to look at it and see the wisdom of eating wisely. Now, if you were to see me, you would see that there's some room for some additional wisdom in my life in this area. I'm not morbidly obese or anything like that, but I could afford to lose a pound or two. I will tell you this, my lab results are good. My blood work is good. But it is not just about a season. It is about the longevity. There's a saying, you are what you eat. So if you're partaking of the word of God for a spiritual meal, you're going to have great health. If all you're doing is eating the garbage that the world is producing for you spiritually, that's what you're going to partake of. I want to ask you, though, is there room for some nutritional improvement so that the temple of the Holy Spirit that you are in charge with stewardship over, that it could see some improvement in that? So there may be some habits that you partake of that are doing damage to your lungs or doing damage to your liver. There could be things that you are partaking of that are doing damage to your brain cells. You and I, we need to steward our bodies as servants of righteousness instead of servants of unrighteousness. Okay? So you need and I need to operate on a daily basis in wisdom so that we are maintaining our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit. And again, this is not a message of condemnation. It's hopefully a message of inspiration. Let's make the adjustments that are necessary. Let's make the changes that we need to make before we have to make them. Okay? So I think that one of the things that helps me is, even though I'm a preacher, I'm not out there doing, labor that is utilizing a bunch of a bunch of muscles and things like that in 100 degree heat, but I'm making sure that I get lots and lots of activity. I'm active. I use a watch to remind me to get up and get moving on a regular basis. That doesn't mean that there's not meetings that I get into where I'm not going to be able to get in my steps or things like that. But I'm still pretty active. Still pretty active. There should be wisdom in your life. Is it wisdom to eat the entire gallon of ice cream? Probably not. Is there wisdom, you know, in partaking of alcohol? I don't think so. The Bible talks about that alcoholic beverages are for people who enjoy folly in their life. Folly being the opposite of wisdom. And so I'm just going to leave this in your ability to hear from God what he wants to say to you. But if people saw what you partake of on a daily basis, would they be amazed with the wisdom of the food that you set before you, either intellectual food, spiritual food, or nutritional food, or time food, you know, things that you're just participating in? Maybe you're just sitting there watching reruns of The Days of Their Lives, you know, from 1962 or something like that. You know, would people look at the things that you partake of on a regular basis and they would say, wow, I see the wisdom in that action? Because the Queen of Sheba did. It goes on, and the third thing it says is in the seating of his servants. The seating of his servants. There was an organization to what Solomon had going on. There were people who were assigned various forms of responsibilities. And among those people that were assigned with those responsibilities, there were shifts that they had. I've told you about the people, the various tribes. There were 12 tribes, so once a month, one of those tribes supplied the food. There was organization there. The servants knew where they were to serve. Okay. Now, I will tell you, this is one of the areas where this is something where my spiritual wisdom is going to have to overproduce to compensate for the spontaneity that I enjoy operating in. Okay, that's a personal thing. I like to be prepared, but I also like to flow in the freedom of the Holy Spirit. But there needs to be organization there. God is not a God of chaos. He is a God of order. If your life is chaotic, then you need to operate in the wisdom of God. And so right now there's a whole lot of organization that is going on in our house. And what that means is we are going through things. There's some transitions that are going on in our life, and we are preparing for those. For my wife and I have been married for a long time, and every move that we have ever made has been a move that was made on the run. It was, you know, when we came to Florida, the company that I worked for said, you need to find a house this week. So we had to find a place to live that week. It was tough. And so we had stuff that we had moved from a larger house that we rented where we came from to a much smaller place. And so we had a whole bunch of stuff. We had more stuff than we had a room in the new place that we could afford to live. The smaller place here was twice as expensive as the biggest place that we rented where we came from. And even when we moved into our home, a hurricane ended up delaying our closing on our house by over a month or almost a month. And so it was, okay, everything gets put into the garage, and we ended up sleeping on the floors while we were painting the walls and all of that sort of stuff. And so we're trying to get to that place where we are organizing. At church, we're constantly narrowing the scope of the disorganization, if you will, further and further to where it's isolated because we want more and more organization. Now the advantage to us being a smaller church is we have the ability to adjust relatively quickly to whatever is going on. So last year when the COVID restrictions came in, we tried the first setup, and after one service we said this isn't going to work, and so we adjusted to a second, and then we ended up going to a third. We got out the tape measure and all of that sort of stuff and came up with a configuration where we could continue to serve and do it in a manner that was going to meet the needs of the people, but it was also going to be wisdom. If people saw the organization that you have, would they see wisdom in it? And I'm not talking about would they make a tweak here or a tweak there. I believe that organizations can do that. Or would they see that it is complete and total chaos? Okay. Now, I will tell you this. We operate in Pentecostal circles. Okay. People say, what's the Assembly of God? I said, it's a Pentecostal Protestant denomination. A lot of times there's some fellowship with charismatics in there as well, which we love the gifts of the Spirit. But everything is to be done decently and in order. And a lot of times there are people who operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and they think that to do so means that they operate without some sort of organizational control. And that's not the case. The fruit operating, being led by the Spirit, does not contradict being led by the Spirit of wisdom of God. They should be compatible. They should be compatible. And so I want to encourage you today. We got through three things. We've talked about that the Queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of God manifesting in Solomon through the way that things operated in his house, the way that the food that was set on his table, and through the organization. I tell you, the bigger you get, the more organized you're going to have to be. You're going to have to grow. You're going to have to hear from God. I heard somebody say the leadership principles that God taught Moses all the way back in the book of Exodus, they're still being taught in business schools in modern times. Let's operate by the wisdom of God. Let's show the world the wisdom of God is superior to the wisdom of men. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
By his nail pierced. understand than to be.